Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Monday, April 15th, 2024. I'm Brian McCullough. Today really looks like high-end reshoring of chip tech is happening, and happening soon. What if satellite telephony becomes a table stakes smartphone feature? Get ready for the Bitcoin halving. Does anyone have invites to AirChat? And get ready for 4 terabyte, yes, 4 terabyte SD cards. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. The U.S. has awarded Samsung $6.4 billion in CHIPS Act funding, saying the company plans to make 2-nanometer chips at its Taylor, Texas plant by 2026, 2 years ahead of when TSMC is going to roll up a similar plant. 2-nanometer chips, so the cutting-edge, top-of-the-line manufactured here in the U.S. in just a couple of years. This is onshoring we can get behind, I think, quoting the Financial Times. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo announced on Monday that the South Korean chipmaker was set to produce chips at the 2-nanometer level of miniaturization at a new fabrication plant, or fab, it was building in the city of Taylor in Texas. It will be part of a $40 billion investment made by the company in capabilities ranging from the manufacturing of microprocessors to advanced chip packaging and research and development work. Samsung's investment will be topped up with as much as $6.4 billion in direct funding received under the U.S. Chips and Science Act, a week after the U.S. government announced that TSMC would receive up to $6.6 billion from the flagship subsidy program to support its chip expansion in Arizona. The first of Samsung's new Taylor fabs will start making 2-nanometer chips in 2026, according to a senior U.S. official. TSMC is set to produce 2-nanometer chips at an Arizona facility from 2028. An initial $17 billion investment, part of a planned $40 billion in total, was announced by Samsung in 2021 to build its first fab in Taylor, which will now make 2 and 4-nanometer chips. The new capital spending adds a second fab that will also make 2-nanometer and 4-nanometer chips, as well as the construction of an advanced chip packaging facility for 2.5D packaging of processor and memory chips. Advanced packaging is a crucial stage in the production of artificial intelligence chips such as NVIDIA's H100, which is used to train generative AI systems such as OpenAI's ChatGPT. TSMC, the world's biggest contract chip maker, carries out 2.5D packaging for NVIDIA's most powerful chips, but it currently has no plans for such an advanced packaging facility in the U.S., end quote. It would be interesting if this became standard table stakes for flagship smartphones. Sources tell Android Authority that Google's new Pixel 9 series, next-generation Pixel Fold, and an under-development 5G tablet will use a new Samsung modem that has satellite connectivity. Quote, "The Tensor G4, coming first to the Pixel 9 series, is bringing a brand new modem, the Samsung Modem 5400. While it's not a Qualcomm modem like some would prefer, it's still an upgrade over the previous generations. Our source couldn't give any exact specs, but as always, we can expect it to be faster and more power efficient than the previous generations. Additionally, the software stack has been upgraded again, which should improve stability. Finally, there's support for 3GPP REL 17, which brings support for 5G non-terrestrial networks, or NTN, satellite-based communication, in other words. The modem is coming to all cellular-enabled Tensor 4 devices, including the Pixel 9 series and the next-generation Pixel Fold. Our sources also informed us that Google is in the early stages of developing a 5G tablet codenamed Clementine with the same modem. However, it is currently unknown when and if the device will make it to market. As we previously reported, Google has made significant progress in integrating support for satellite-based messaging in Android 15. Thanks to NTN support in the Exynos Modem 5400, the Pixel 9 series will be the first to support Android's native satellite implementation. Initially, the feature will be provided by T-Mobile, built in collaboration with SpaceX, with other providers possibly added in the future. The satellite link will allow for texting, but not calling. Additionally, a special satellite gateway app will allow for easy communications with emergency services via a feature called Emergency SOS. We've already seen earlier indications about how this could work, but we can now preview it in more detail. First, you will be asked a few basic questions to narrow down the situation. You will also be given a choice to notify your emergency contacts, after which you will be able to message with emergency services to get you the help you need. Many of the questions will also have predefined answers to choose from to make the process quicker. Due to the nature of satellite connectivity, mobile solutions using it typically need very specific alignment to connect. Google has designed animations to help this process," end quote. So something to put on your radar, the next Bitcoin halving is right around the corner. This will cut miners validating transactions to 450 from 900 now and costing the industry around $10 billion in annual revenue. And it's expected to happen April 20th, because of course it is, 420. Quoting Bloomberg, for enthusiasts of Bitcoin, a once every 4 years software update called the halving has long been held as one of the keys to propping up its value. Around April 20th, the halving will cut the amount of Bitcoin that miners can earn each day for validating transactions to 450 from 900 now. Based on Bitcoin's current price, it could spell revenue losses of around $10 billion a year for the industry as a whole. Marathon Digital Holdings, CleanSpark, and other miners, which compete for a fixed Bitcoin reward by solving mathematical puzzles using super-fast computers, have invested in new equipment and sought to buy smaller rivals in an attempt to cushion the drop-off in revenue. This is the final push for miners to squeeze out as much revenue as they can before their production takes a big hit, said Matthew Kimmel, a digital asset analyst at CoinShares. With revenues across the board decreasing overnight, the strategic response of each miner and how they adapt could well determine who comes out ahead and who gets left behind, end quote. Granted, Bitcoin has reached new highs after previous halvings, helping to mitigate the periodic drop in mining rewards and the increase in the cost of doing business. The event this month is coming after the digital currency has more than quadrupled since November 2022. Yet the margin of success for the industry keeps getting finer. Miners will need to continually spend more money in a never-ending technological arms race for smaller rewards. And while the energy-intensive validation process has always made mining expensive, companies now face even more competition for power from the burgeoning and deep-pocketed artificial intelligence industry. The soaring price of Bitcoin has helped offset those power costs and fueled growth in crypto mining since the first specialized machines came into play in 2013. The aggregate market cap of 14 U.S. listed miners has grown to about $20 billion, according to an April 1st report by JP Morgan Chase. While U.S. listed miners are the face of the industry, they account for just about 20% of the sector's computing power, according to crypto researcher The Miner Mag. Private miners make up the rest and could be more vulnerable after the halving, as they typically must tap debt financing or venture capital to cover their needs, whereas public companies can raise funds via share sales. As the hoopla has revved up around the event, some traders are betting that mining stocks will fall. Total short interest, the dollar value of the shares borrowed and sold by bearish traders, stood at about $2 billion as of April 11th, according to an estimate from S3 Partners. That short interest accounted for almost 15% of the group's outstanding shares, three times more than the U.S. average of 4.75%. The update, the fourth since 2012, was programmed by the anonymous Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto to maintain the hard cap of 21 million tokens to keep it from becoming inflationary as a currency. The situation differs from 4 years ago when Bitcoin was trading under $9,000 and most of the mining activity took place in China. Since then, much of that activity has shifted to the U.S., driving competition for electricity, end quote. Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? How about your customer base? How about your business on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow, whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Was just checking in on our Shopify store this morning, running flawlessly as it's done for nearly a decade now. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify's the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ride, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ride now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ride. In 2023, just 10 vulnerabilities accounted for over half of the incidents responded to by Arctic Wolf's incident response. Wouldn't you like to know how to take them off the table and make life more difficult for cybercriminals? That's just one of the essential insights you'll find inside the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 Threats Report, authored by their elite team of security researchers, data scientists, and security development engineers, and backed by the data gained from trillions of weekly observations with thousands of unique environments. This report offers expert analysis into attack types, root causes, top vulnerabilities, TTPs, and more. Discover the attack vector behind nearly half of all successful cybercrimes, why ransom demands climbed 20% from 2023, and find out why 2024 will be an especially volatile year for cybersecurity. Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/tech meme. That's arcticwolf.com/tech meme. I'm not saying this to jinx anything, but the lowest hanging fruit of the feared AI apocalypse still hasn't quite been picked yet. Yes, AI fakery is making its way around the various nooks and crannies of the internet, but it's not the overwhelming deluge that we might have feared. Again, at least not yet. But also, remember that first AI panic around cheating in academic settings? Again, it's not been the step change that some were fearing. An analysis of more than 200 million student papers submitted over the last year shows only around 11% of them had signs of AI help in them, and only around 3% of papers contained at least 80% AI writing, quoting the Financial Times. In the U.S., Stanford University researchers said last year that cheating rates did not appear to have been affected by AI. Up to 70% of high school students have long confessed to some form of cheating, and nearly a year after ChatGPT's arrival, that proportion has not changed. At universities, research shows half of students are regular generative AI users, not necessarily to cheat, but only about 12% use it daily. When it comes to the number of student essays written with the help of AI, rates appear relatively steady, says Turnitin, a plagiarism detection software group that has a tool for checking generative AI use. It said that students have submitted more than 22 million papers in the past 12 months that do show signs of AI help, which was 11% of the total it reviewed. More than 6 million papers, or 3% of the total, contained at least 80% of AI writing. That is a lot of papers, but the percentage of AI writing is virtually the same as what Turnitin found last year when it carried out a similar assessment. AI usage rates have been stable, says Chris Caron, Turnitin's chief executive. And as he told me last week, just because you're using ChatGPT does not necessarily mean you are cheating. Some teachers and faculty allow some level of AI assistance in writing an essay, but they also want that properly cited, he says. AI can be incredibly useful for doing research and brainstorming ideas, end quote. It's that time again, time when I ask if anybody has invites to a new social network. Well, not new exactly, but Naval Ravikant's AirChat app sort of blew up late last week, so if you have an invite, please let me know. Brian@techmeme.com. Here's the deal with AirChat according to TechCrunch. A previous version of AirChat was released last year, but the team, led by AngelList founder Naval Ravikant and former Tinder product exec Brian Norgaard, rebuilt the app and relaunched it on iOS and Android yesterday. Currently invite-only, AirChat is already ranked number 27 in social networking on Apple's App Store. Visually, AirChat should feel pretty familiar and intuitive, with the ability to follow other users, scroll through a feed of posts, then reply to like and share those posts. The difference is that the posts and replies are audio recordings, which the app then transcribes. When you open AirChat, messages automatically start playing, and you quickly cycle through them by swiping down and up. If you're so inclined, you can actually pause the audio and just read text. Users can also share photos and video, but audio seems to be what everyone's focused on and what Ravikant describes as transforming the dynamic compared to text-based social apps. After joining AirChat this morning, most of the posts I saw were about the app itself, with Ravikant and Norgaard answering questions and soliciting feedback. Humans are all meant to get along with other humans. It just requires the natural voice, Ravikant said. Online text-only media has given us this delusion that people can't get along, but actually everybody can get along. This isn't the first time tech startups have bet on voice as the next big social media thing, but AirChat's asynchronous threaded posts make for a pretty different experience than the live chat rooms that briefly flourished on Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces. Norgaard argued that this approach removes the stage fright barrier to participating because, quote, you can take as many passes at composing a message on here as you like and nobody knows. In fact, he said that in conversations with early users, the team found that, quote, most of the people using AirChat today are very introverted and shy. Personally, I haven't convinced myself to post anything yet. I was more interested in seeing how others were using the app. Plus, I have a love-hate relationship with the sound of my voice. Still, there's something to be said for hearing Ravikant and Norgard explain their vision rather than just reading the transcriptions, which can miss nuances of enthusiasm, intonation, etc. And I'm especially curious to see how deadpan jokes and shitposting translate, or don't, into audio. I also struggle a bit with the speed. The app defaults to 2x audio playback, which I thought sounded unnatural, particularly if the whole idea is fostering human connection. You can reset the speed by holding down the pause button, but at 1x, I noticed I'd start skimming when listening to longer posts. Then I'd usually skip ahead before listening to the full audio, but maybe that's fine, end quote. Again, any invites, Brian at techmeme.com or at BrianMCC on Twitter. Finally today, longtime listeners know I have a fascination with storage. I remember when I got my first computer with a 100 gigabyte hard drive and how spacious and capacious that felt. But I also remember how my first MP3 player could hold but one album at a time, only one. I'd load Primal Scream's Exterminator album and go for a run, and at track 11, this device was out of storage, so it was either hit repeat or stop running. I usually stopped running. So here we go, quoting The Verge. It wasn't that long ago when we were impressed by a 400 gigabyte micro SD card, but now Western Digital is showing off a full-size SD card with 10 times the storage capacity. The new SanDisk Extreme Pro 4 terabyte SD card is designed for cameras and laptops, and it's the first time we've seen this storage size on an SD card. While Western Digital is previewing its 4-terabyte SD card at the NAB show this week, it won't actually be available until 2025. Anantech notes that the card uses the ultra-high-speed IUHSI interface, which supports up to 104 MBS data transfers in the UHS 104 mode. It also has minimal sequential write speeds of 30 MBS, enough for 8K video recording. The SD Association first announced its Secure Digital Ultra Capacity, or SDUC, card specifications in 2018, promising that SD cards would soon hold up to 128 terabytes of storage. It's taken quite some time to get to the 4-terabyte point, and Western Digital isn't disclosing what type of NAND is inside the upcoming card, so even higher capacities are likely a ways off. Still, if you're eager to record beyond 4K resolution with 4 terabytes of space, then Western Digital should have something ready next year. The big question is how much a 4-terabyte UHS 1 SD card will cost. Given the 1-terabyte versions of the same card retail for around $140, you're probably looking at $600 or more for a 4-terabyte version. End quote. I think I've brought this up before, but I've fallen in love with the feature in Apple News Plus where certain articles are turned into podcast episodes so you can listen to instead of read them. Can anyone listening to me right now put me in touch with the Apple News team? I mean, I do a daily news show that could be perfect for this section of Apple News Plus. Would love to have at least the conversation. Brian at techmeme.com. Talk to you tomorrow.